Good morning. I want to go ahead and get started. We have quite a bit of business to do this morning between 8 and 9, so I want to welcome everyone. I'm going to give you 30 seconds this morning to stand up and greet someone that you haven't seen this week. So I know for this crowd 30 seconds is not long enough, but for this morning I'm going to give you 30 seconds. So just stand up and say hello to someone and then return to your seats. Very good. I didn't even have to tell y'all to be seated. Very good. We're already off on the right foot this morning. For the announcements, I know we're going to do the elder election this morning, but as far as announcements go, I'm going to let you read them that are in the bulletin. But is there anyone who needs to make an announcement at this time? Melanie? Thank you, Melanie. Any other announcements? Larry, you have anything?
If you want a poinsettia and didn't sign up last week, just write on a little note card and who in memory of, how many and who in memory of, et cetera, and who you are.
Okay. Any other announcements? Prayer request.
One kind of new thing in the church is a gathering, just a fellowship gathering, and a group. Some people have been gathering about 3 months, 4 months, and this Friday night, 6 months? Okay, long time. This Friday night, the 8th, we're going to the Joe's house. And that is, what's the number? What's the Joe? 807 Rockwood Court. 807 Rockwood Court. Rockwood Drive. And it's just bring something and add to the goodies and just have a good time. There may be some games. You never know what's going to happen when you go to the Job's house. It may be jump off of a 14-foot deck, but it or maybe watch Tommy almost fall off of one.
Are there any others? If you need a poinsettia request, please raise your hand. Joyce has the paper for you to fill out. No other announcements? Prayer request. Louise, I'm going to let you tell about Carver and how he's doing. Is he home? For those of you who don't understand, he was at a birthday party Friday night and fell and broke his arm right above the elbow, broke the bone in two, and he had to have surgery at Vanderbilt yesterday morning. So, well, he told the doctor, could he have some more of that medicine through that tube, that his arm was beginning to hurt. So, and I see him at school every day, and he really is a sweet little boy. The other person I want to mention, I don't know if Heather wants to talk, it's one of Heather's friends. His name is Chris McGuire. He used to go to Mother's Day out here. Yesterday he was playing paintball and they thought he had the safety on his gun, on his paintball gun. something happened. It hit him in the eye. They don't know the status of his eye, or at least we haven't heard. So we're going to lift Chris McGuire up. Heather's been friends with him for a very, very long time. Are there others that we need to mention this morning?
Susan may have a report on John Coates.
Okay. Susan?
Going to therapy.
Surgery was successful. It was good. Anyone else? Okay, now Larry, I think we're to the point where, or Steve, is it your turn for the elder nomination, sir?
Well, I have opened the meeting. Once a year, or two Sundays a year, we go to a business meeting. Since we're having two services, we determined we needed to have two Sundays for the nomination process. The reason for the building meeting is to elect session members for three-year terms or for a term that might be vacant. So I call a congregational meeting to order and open with prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the church. And we thank you that you have called us to be a part of the church. And we thank you that you have given leaders for the church. And we come this morning to take care of the business of nominating leaders. And we pray for your guidance and your blessing in this undertaking. And we pray in Jesus' name, knowing this is his church. Amen. Mr. Clerk, will you read the report? These names are placed in nomination, but you have the opportunity to make additional nominations for these three positions that we will elect for next Sunday. We have additional nominations for the office of elder. I'll ask one more time, do you have additional nominations for the office of elder? All in favor of the nominations closing for this service, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
And like sign for all who would oppose. The nominations are closed for this service. We will have the same opportunity at the 10:15 service for those who are present there. And let us offer prayer. Lord God, this church, your church, that it might always glorify you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Thank you.
Before we did the elders, we did lift up the concerns of our hearts. So if you could just bow your heads for a moment of silence, please. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is responsive. It is in your bulletin, so everyone will pick your bulletin up. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The day is near. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David.
And he shall execute justice and righteousness.
Let's all stand up and sing, "Stand Up and Bless the Lord." Let's do 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5.
Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of His joy. Stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. Go high above the praise, above all blessing high, who would not fear His holy magnify. Stand up and bless the Lord, the Lord your God adore. Stand up and bless His glorious name, His God forevermore.
And while you're used to singing that tune, if you will turn to hymn 120, "The Advent of Our Lord," and we'll just continue to sing that tune.
The advent of our God, with eager hearts we greet, and we must praise Him in this hour with hymns and anthems sweet. All glory to the Son, who comes to set us free, with Father, Spirit, ever one, and through eternity.
Would you bow with me for prayer? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to begin the period of anticipation, the waiting for, the gazing upon the horizon. Lord, we come with spiritual eyes, or we pray that You would take our eyes and make them spiritual, that we could look for the coming of Your Son. Lord, help us as we remember His birth long ago in that stable in Bethlehem. But help us also remember that He has promised to come again and to claim those who belong to Him, who have put their faith in Him as their Lord and their Savior. We thank You for this season. We thank You for Jesus, who came to be our Savior. And we thank You, Lord, that we could gather in His name in worship and offer praise and adoration. And we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. And now we come praying that prayer that He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we state our faith through the Apostles' Creed, followed by the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. We come to the time of our service confessing our sin. Our call to confession this morning is, because we have faith in Christ, we dare to approach God with confidence. Now, if you will look in your bulletin, the prayer of confession in unison. Righteous God, you have crowned Jesus Christ as Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before Him and are slow to acknowledge His rule. We give allegiance to the powers of this world and fail to be governed by justice and love. In your mercy, forgive us. Raise us to acclaim Him as ruler of all, that we may be loyal ambassadors, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we go through this week and through this time, we are given the assurance of forgiveness, which says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. From 1 John 1:9.
There is an insert for the communion service. Reverend Job is going to administer the sacraments this morning. The elders, I think I've recognize the active elders is Steve, Teresa, and Melanie. Is there another active elder? Louise. Louise slipped in. If you will come after the responsive reading and assemble with Brother Tommy here in the altar.
We just offered a statement of our belief. In that statement, we offered what we believe about God, about Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, and about the Holy Spirit, and about the church. And we said we believe in the communion of saints. You are a saint if you are a follower of Christ. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the church blesses God for all He has done, is doing, and promises to do. In the Eucharist, we offer ourselves in obedient service to God's reign. The church is renewed and empowered. In thanksgiving, we remember Christ's life, death, resurrection, and promised return. The people of God are sustained by the promised presence of Christ and are assured of the participation of Christ's self-offerings. Christ's love is here received. The covenant is renewed. And the power of God's reign for the renewing of the earth is proclaimed. Being made one with Christ, we are made one with all who belong to Christ, united with the church in every time and place. In this sacrament, we also participate in God's future as well. It is a glad resurrection feast gathering around this table, the church anticipates the great banquet of a new age in God's eternal kingdom. The Lord's Supper is more than a reminder of Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection. It is the means given to us by Christ through which the risen Christ is truly present as the coming power and reality until the day of His coming again. How fitting that we begin the Advent season by receiving the body and blood of our Lord. It is a resurrected living Christ whom we encounter through the bread and the fruit of the vine. Would you share with me responsibly our prayer before the Lord's Supper? We have shared bread and the fruit of the vine many times in our lives, in many places, for many reasons. The bread that we now break and the cup that we take are sharing in the life of Christ. May our acceptance of it today be a sign of our faith in the ongoing goodness of a God who journeys with us, in the mystery of a call given to each one here to make bread and life and beauty available to everyone. It is the bread of heaven, the bread of the poor, the bread of our lives. Let us share this bread and fruit of the vine as Jesus taught us, knowing that our lives are forever changed by this and every breaking of bread. Amen. Let the elders come. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that the Lord Jesus, on the night before He died, took bread, and after giving thanks to you, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate His dying and rising as we await the day of His coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you, O God, to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Amen. As Jesus took the bread and broke it and gave it to the disciples, and at that meal they recognized who He was by the breaking of the bread, we take the bread and we bless it in His name and receive it into ourselves. O God, our Father, we offer unto you this bread, and we offer unto you our very lives, that we too may be broken, humbled in your presence, and submissive to your Spirit through Christ. Amen. In like manner, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant I give you, the covenant that you love one another, even as I have loved you." O living and mysterious Christ here today, we receive unto ourselves the sacredness of your blood spilled for us, staining us, but purging us from sin, and renewing us for service in your kingdom. Amen. Have all been served? This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you.
If David and Heather could join me up front, please, for the lighting of the Advent candle. We light the first candle this Sunday, December, Advent candle. I like what's printed in the bulletin at the very bottom. It says, this is the Advent season, and we refer to it as being Christmas. I know there's been a lot of media attention this year that they're going to start saying Merry Christmas again instead of Happy Holidays. Well, in my heart, it was always Merry Christmas, because without the first part of Christmas, there's no Christ. Christ has always been in my life. It's always been Christmas, so I've always said Merry Christmas, so I want to be the first to wish you Merry Christmas this year. Heather? We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Could I have our ushers come forward at this time?
Let us pray. Lord God, we hear your call to share. Share with those who are less fortunate, those who are weak or weaker, especially in the material benefits of this world. But Lord, we also give to honor you and to glorify you. And we pray that you would so direct this church, as these resources are distributed. In Jesus' name, amen. Joyce, did you have anyone line up to read scripture this morning? Okay. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son.
He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Turn in your hymnals again, if you will, please, to hymn 295, "Revive Us Again." Let's sing the first and the last.
Son of the love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
You might ask, how does "Revive Us Again" fit into a first Sunday in Advent presentation? Also, how does it fit with this scripture? Well, if you see the last verse or the last part of this passage, where there are the weeping and the gnashing of teeth for those who are left out of the kingdom of God, maybe that would be a challenge and a call that we open ourselves up to God for being revived again. Revive us again. We've been thinking about, or I have, and I hope that you have, I've been trying to bring it to your attention, reaching out. Reaching out and inviting people into the kingdom of God. And we've dwelt with this a week or two or three or five, and that's the direction we're going even this day. Reaching out. The passage before you could be approached from many ways. It might be approached, and some have approached it from warning those who have refused the invitation of God to be a part of His kingdom. And another approach could be a warning to those who are not properly clothed, or I guess we would say those would be those who are profess to be a part of Christ but really have no faith in Christ. And many sermons have been prepared from this area. And I pulled up at least one website and glanced at the titles and the introductions to some sermons there, And all of them approach from those two angles, one from one angle and one from another angle. But today I ask you to consider this passage as a challenge that we who are saints, as Tommy referred to us, Paul said all who believe are saints, that we have been challenged as believers in Jesus to add to His kingdom. We did a little multiplication exercise a few weeks ago, you remember that, and a little spelling exercise also, and I hope that you remember how bad my spelling was. For today I have printed it, but you can twist it up about any way you want to. But let me ask the question. Do you know anyone who is not a member of the family of God that you would like to see in the family of God? And maybe a better way to put that is that God would like to see in His family. Do you know of anyone that's not a part of God's family, but God would like to see that person in His family? Now, one thing that I hope that we can see ourselves as from this passage, that we can see ourselves as the servants that the King sent out into the world, into that community. We don't know what community it was. Just a parable that Jesus used about a king. It could fit any community. The King being King Jesus, or God the Father. Jesus sends us out. God the Father sends us out. As the Father sent Jesus, He said, He sends us. Can you think of that person, one person, that's not in the family of God, not saved, an unsaved individual as you know that person? And how do you determine? Well, only God really knows, but one who doesn't act Christian. Now, if you will go down a little bit below that, and is that a friend? Is that a relative? Is that an acquaintance? Or is that a neighbor? It could be more than one. And I've given you a little piece of paper that you could write that person's name down on. I saw a guy yesterday that I hadn't seen in about 5 or 6 years. Met them while I was looking for, what was I looking for? Thermometers in Walmart. Needed a thermometer to see how cold the refrigerator and the freezer in this church was getting. Stuff was melting. Ice cream was melting. That was a very practical act. Now, how do I get to be the purchaser of the thermometers? I guess I know the most about the refrigerators at least, because people came and said, our ice cream melted. And I was hoping we wouldn't have to replace that ice cream. We didn't. It was still tasty. It refroze. But I read, say all that to say, I ran into an acquaintance. I think the best I could do is run into an acquaintance. He says, you don't know me, do you? And I said, I couldn't think of his name. And I said, yes, your daddy lives on Sanford Road. And well, then I thought later about the name. Well, I did his wedding. They said 9 years. 9 years. And they used this church at least for wedding purposes, and they'll probably need a church or a preacher for burial purposes, wedding and burial purposes, you know. Or BWB, I think, baptisms, weddings, and burial. And I think I saw him once more, and that's when another member of his family got married. But you know my problem? Where I see myself, I haven't followed up on my acquaintance. I had an open door, but I didn't follow up. Oh, I said, y'all come to church sometime. But over these 9 years, I may have prayed for him once or twice. And don't just look at what I haven't done or have done or have not, have or have not done. How do you fit there on your acquaintance that you may have known for many, many years and you became a Christian and you knew the joy of salvation and you saw yourself as being on the way to heaven. You saw yourself as a servant of God, but you failed to reach out to invite your friend to go with you. But you write a name down, I know there's somebody in your life. Might write it on the palm of your hand. See, nothing's on the palm of my hand this morning, but I use that for my notepad. When I go wash the hands, I lose the notes, though. So, but then later, you can transfer it to a piece of paper. But we've provided a piece of paper for you this morning. And if you don't want to be in the Friend program, be in the North program. Either one, your choice. And you can shift those letters around and be in any kind of program you want to. But you're still interested in your neighbors, your relatives, your acquaintances, your friends. To invite them to be a part of the kingdom of God. To invite them to be a part of the Christian community. To invite them to claim citizenship in heaven. Invite them to trust Jesus to be their Savior. Jesus used a parable to tell his audience about the kingdom. The characters in the parable, they're pretty, rather easy to pick out. The king. The king was that him? Was that God the Father? Well, God the Father sent Jesus the Son, and if Jesus is God in the flesh, we don't even need to discuss that one too long. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit sends people out. They are the people in charge. They're the king, the servants, disciples, Christians. Jesus may have been talking about those Old Testament prophets, or Moses in the giving of the law. See, the book of Hebrews says that God has reached out first through the law, or through the law, then through the prophets, and in these last days in the person of Jesus Christ. That was in the days that was the Hebrew writer was writing in. He's still reaching out through Jesus Christ and his servants. Could he be talking about himself as one of the servants? One who was killed? A servant who was killed? And that's in that passage, I believe. They seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them. John the Baptist, could he be talking about John the Baptist being killed? Because of his witness? It may be dangerous to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we should include that in there. And then there were the invited guests. There were the king, there was the king, or there is the king, the servants, and the invited guest. The people not in God's kingdom. The unsaved of the world. He may be referring back to the Jews of his day, how they killed the one that God had sent, or how they would kill him, Jesus. God wants everybody in his kingdom. You see, they all won't come from Jesus' parable. But he wants all of us and everybody else. He wants everybody to be saved. That's why he sent Jesus. Whosoever will. I use it often, but I refer to it again. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3:9 said, God does not want anyone to perish, or God is not willing that any should perish, or be separated from him, or be lost. But he sent his Son, John 3:16, he sent his Son to be the Savior. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. We also have the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18, 19, and 20. Jesus talked about the authority that he had been given by God, and then he challenged the disciples to go, preaching and teaching and making disciples and having them baptized. Luke chapter 24, Acts chapter 1, 24, at Luke 24, 46 through 48 or 49. You're to be witnesses, he says, to those gathered with him in a very, almost the same words as recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Jesus sends servants to bring them in. Bring them in. There's a song in the old songbook. I didn't find it in this one, in our new songbook. It was 425, and it's been on my mind going over. In my mind, I can sing real good, you know. So I've been singing this in my mind, okay? Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. As we look at this, we know that some will not come. Some will not come. Or maybe they just not will not come at this invitation. And these have been referred to as green fruit. You pull green fruit too early, and it's useless. And I thought of watermelons. The first watermelon we would see in our little watermelon patch in the summer, and we would pull it and cut it open, it would be a green watermelon. Has anybody ever tried to devour a green watermelon? We all know better than that. It's useless. Some people out there are not ready to be invited, are not ready to come, but we plant a seed. We let them know that there is a place for them, that God wants them in His family. Those we need to pray for. Pray for the Spirit to move in their lives. Pray for God to give us an opportunity to go to them at the right time when they are ripe for the picking, if you will. Picking in a good way. Are ripe for harvesting. Jesus used that the fields are white unto harvest. the picking is not to pick their pockets, but to harvest them for the kingdom of God. We need to be good witnesses between those who are still not ready. Green fruit. Green tomatoes. Somebody thought enough of green tomatoes to make a movie about it. So I guess there had to be a play written about it. I ate some green tomatoes Thursday. You know, they're just not that good. They're tart. They're sour. Or these were. Oh, I ate every smidgen of them. But the best tomato is a red ripe tomato, unless it's one of those yellow ones and less acid in them. But the best tomato is those really, really ripe ones. So we don't need to pick green fruit. There are enough people who are ready to be invited. I'm not sure that tomatoes should be eaten green, even if they are fried. Green apples. Somebody wrote a song about little green apples. But they'll hurt your stomach. Have you ever done that? Who's ever eaten enough green apples to have a stomach ache? They can do it. None of you? One? Two? I thought we had. And then, surely the rest of us have, and green persimmons. You ever eaten a green persimmon? I was warned early enough. I never ate one, and I understand that you have to, the frost needs to fall on persimmons before they're edible. But then they're so good, and you make pies and all that good stuff out of them. But there are enough people who are ready to be harvested. Or we can plant seeds and cultivate and lead people to ripeness for harvesting. And when some won't come, some people give up. But in the parable that Jesus used about the kingdom, He doesn't let us stop. But He sends us again. And again, and again. And then those that we expect to come, those that we expect to come, they may never come. But if we go to enough people often enough, some will come. Some will come. Those that we expected that in the parable, those that were first gone, were first gone to. I'm sorry. They did not come. Maybe they came later. We hope that they did, but they didn't come then. But there are still others who are willing to come, waiting to be invited. Revive us again, O Lord. Revive us again. Revive us again, O Lord. Revive us again. That we might be involved in the rescue efforts of rescuing the perishing. And that's number 299 in your hymnal, and let's sing the first and the fourth stanza. And let's hear God speak to us concerning our involvement in rescuing those who are perishing in sin. Stand with me, if you will, and let's sing together. And maybe you feel that God is calling you to come for rescue this morning. This altar awaits you if you would come here and make a public commitment of your trust in Jesus Christ. Claim your membership in the family of God.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, just thanking you that Jesus came and saved me. And I could trust in him deeply. And thank you, Father, that he saved Richard. And that he saved Chip. And he saved Simon. And Father, we thank you that he saved all who believe in him as their Savior. Trust him and what he did on the cross. Thank you for salvation. We offer our thanks in his name, the name of Jesus.
And I thought
I was going to see if I could find her.
Yeah, well, she went to the left, but I don't know which way she ended up going. Well, okay, we'll work on that. Thank you.
Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding.
Amen.